Go loka namni nijadamni tale chatasya devi maheshu haridama suteshu teshu te te prabhava nichaya vhitashchujena govindamari purusham tamaham vajami. Translation. Lowest of all is located Devi Dham, the mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Dham, the abode of Mahesh, Lord Shiva. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, the abode of Hari. And above them all is located Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of those graded realms. So in this series of verses from text 43 to 52, we will understand how Govindam is the Adipurusham, or he is the Supreme Lord of all lords. And in these verses, Lord Brahma will introduce us to Shiva and Durga, and now he's introducing us to the realms, or the abodes, and then he introduces us to the lords or queens or kings of those abodes. So this verse, he's describing the gradations of different realms. There are different levels of planets and consciousness therein, and different types of activities and different types of personalities who reign over those or control those regions, and as their service to Krishna, just like a king may control a region of a country as service to the people. So here we're hearing about these four different levels. From the material world, which is called Devi. Devi Dham means Durga Dham, Devi Dham, the material world. Then above that, there's Shiva Lok or Mahesh Dham. Then above that is Vaikuntha. Then you go to the topmost point of Vaikuntha, you have Braja Gokul. So there's four realms that are mentioned here. Purport. The realm of Goloka stands the highest above all the others. Brahma, looking up to that higher position of Goloka, is speaking of the other realms from the point of view of his own realm. The first in order is this mundane world. In other words, from his home ground of Brahmaloka, Brahma is describing all the different successive realms. It's almost as if you're standing on top, you're in a mountain range and you're standing on top of one of the highest mountains, but not the highest mountain. So you're up there and you're saying, oh, well, below me there is this place, and then above me there's these higher mountains and the highest mountain. So he's looking below and he's saying, oh, below my planet, or you can say just nearby, is Devi Dham. And then, like that. Next is, what does he say? The first in order is this mundane world called Devi Dham, consisting of the 14 worlds, Satyalok, etc. Next above Devi Dham is located Shiva Dham, one portion of which is called Mahakal Dham, is enveloped in darkness. Interpenetrating this portion of Shiva Dham, there shines the Sadashiva Loka, full of great light. Above the same appears Hari Dham, or the transcendental Vaikuntha Loka. The potency of Devi Dham in the form of the extension of Maya and that of Shiva Loka, consisting of time, space, and matter, are the potency of the separated particles pervaded by the penumbral reflection of the subjective portion of the divinity. But Hari Dham is resplendent with transcendental majesty, and the great splendor of all sweetness predominates over all other majesties in Goloka. The Supreme Lord Govinda, by his own direct and indirect power, has constituted those respective potencies of those realms. What does that mean? So, some idea about that is that this particular part of the purport is another translation we can read, beginning with this sentence here, five sentences up from the bottom. the potency of Devi Dham, right? In the form of the extension of Maya. So that whole section to the end, I'll read a second translation. The power of Devi Dham as Maya's majesty, and the power of Shiva Dham. In other words, this Durga, this material world, the power of this material world of Devi Dham, where Durga presides, is the potency or the greatness and grandeur of Maya, material energy, Mahamaya. Then, above that, Shiva Dham, the power of Shiva Dham as time and the aggregate of material elements, in other words, all the pradhan, is present in those planes as the power of the hazy aspect of the Lord. In other words, the powers of Shiva Dham and the energies there and the potencies there are all like Abbas. They're called Abbas. This word in English, penumbro means almost partially shaded region or shadow in English, penumbral reflection. So it's called Abbas. In our philosophical terms, we say these regions of Shiva Dham and Devi Dham, they're like a hazy aspect of the spiritual world. As Prabhupada would say, this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So it says that in those planes, as the power of the hazy aspect, or Abbas, of the Lord's plenary expansion, Swamsha, reflected as separated particles, Vivinamsha. But the power of Haridham is its transcendental majesty and power over all sweetness and charm of Goloka, is the main state. That Haridham, in other words, the spiritual world, what the kind of majesty there, the kind of opulence and grandeur there, it's all transcendental and spiritual. It's beyond the influence of time, whereas Shiva Lok and Devi Lok, they're all influenced by time, and it's Mahamaya, and the opulence and majesty there is all a reflection of the spiritual opulence and majesty. But then when you go to Vaikuntha, then there's great opulence and majesty. But then above that, but what is greater than opulence and majesty is sweetness and beauty, or sweetness, beauty and love. So the abode of beauty and love is Goloka. That is the abode of beautiful relationships, of sweet, intimate love. And so that conquers everything. The mainstay of all majesties. In other words, the greatest of all opulences, the greatest of all Aishwarya is the opulence of beauty and love, which predominates in Goloka Dham. All of these powers in each of these abodes or dhams are ordained, or means conferred, by the direct and indirect power of Govinda. In other words, the spiritual world is manifested directly by his Swarup Shakti or Yogamaya potency. And then when that's reflected beyond the into the material energy, then it becomes the Maya, Mahamaya potency. Okay, this is Devi Dham. Okay? Material world. And that's all these, you know, the 14 planetary systems. And then above that, then you have this, we call it Shiva Loka. Shiva Loka. But you'll see that in this purport, that there's Sada Shiva Loka, Sada Shiva Loka. Your finger. And then this is called Mahakala Dham. That means big time, big time, the big time. Mahakala Dham. That's why in the purport of what we just read is that Shiva Loka, this aspect of time is there, because it's still halfway in the material world. So this is the Virja. Or probably say Karna Samudra. Karna Samudra means the ocean of cause, causal ocean. So this separates, this is the spiritual world. This separates the material world from the spiritual world. So Brahmaloka, this is Brahmaloka. Brahmaloka, okay? So above Brahmaloka is Shiva Loka. But Shiva Loka, you can see, has two aspects. One is called Mahakala Dham. We'll read about it. I have to explain notes about it. So this is to give some idea. This one planet of Shiva Loka, Sutta Shiva Loka, is half of it, the upper portion of it is beyond the Viraja. So you can say it's just at the borderline of the spiritual world. And the lower half of it is in the material world. Sometimes people, they go to Shiva Loka, but which side do you go to? It's like you may say, oh, I'm in Vrindavan. Because like people live in Agra, they say, I live in Vrindavan. Well, they're kind of like, and that's like lower Vrindavan. Real Vrindavan is Sevakunj, Nidivan, Rasastali, where the Goswamis live. That's the fully resplendent, sweet, transcendental Vrindavan that we want to be in, not the Agra portion. The Agra means Ugra, and Ugra means horrible. This is kind of, we'll read some excerpts here from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is half of the book, discusses this whole explanation about the different realms which are mentioned here in Brahma Samhita. You see, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated this literature as a sambandha tattva par excellence, a par excellence shastra of sambandha tattva, that it really establishes in a summary way all the basic principles which we have to understand in Krishna consciousness. So all other literatures are kind of like expansions or developments of this basic literature, including Rasa Tattva literatures, Rupa Goswami, or which is Abhideya Tattva, or Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Sanatan Goswami, which is Sambandha Tattva, or which further develops. He takes this one verse and makes a whole book out of it. So the first thing is that Devidam, because there's four regions here, so we'll just kind of briefly discuss. From my notes, you can read. Devidam, this includes Bhur Bhuvakswa, the material planets. And on these planets, people are absorbed in fruitive activities. And there are four higher planets, Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, and Satyalok, which is called Brahmalok. And those planets, those are higher planets, the higher planets in the material world, they can be attained by ideal followers of the Vedas. In other words, first-class brahmacharis, vanapras, and sannyasis. So people that live in the earth planet, this is the karmasthan, this is a place of karma where you can do good works or bad works. If you do good works, and you're very expert in following the Vedic scriptures, karmakanda literatures, then you can, as a brahmachari, as a vanaprastha or sannyas, which means you're performing your austerities according to your ashram dharma, then you can get elevation to one of these higher planets, Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok. Tapalok is for the great tapasvis and vairagis. The sannyasis can attain the Tapalok, whereas the vanaprasthas may attain the Janalok, because they're not so detached, but they're doing a lot of austerity and they get rewards. So this is the situation. The sinful and irreligious people, they descend to hellish planets, Patal, Rasatal, Alatal, etc. All these planets, the hellish planets and the higher heavenly planets, they all exist within the realm of Devi Dham. Then it doesn't surprise anyone that many people, their Ishtadev is Durga Devi. They worship Durga because this is definitely a lady's world. The men were trying to brainwash everyone to say it's a man's world. The chauvinistic men for the last, thousands and thousands of years. But actually, it's a lady's world. The whole material world is a lady's world. Devi is not the masculine gender. Devi is the feminine gender. So this whole material world is certainly, it's ladies' rule. And the lady she's not some lightweight lady either. She's a heavyweight. And even the biggest masculine men demons get, crushed under her toenails. Mahishasura, he's the most powerful masculine Purusha demon in the material creation. And Durga just put him under her big toe. So she's a very powerful lady. I just want to explain a little bit here about the goals of different processes, because we're mentioning this about how Devi Dham you can move to different places. So the karmis, the people that just follow karma, they may practice and perfect the Varnashram Dharma for 100 lives. If they practice for 100 lives, very expertly following all the rules and regulations of the Karma Dharma Shastras and Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, then they can attain Brahmaloka. But they're still within the material universe. Yogis and tapasvis, they can attain to this Janalok, Maharlok, or Brahmalok, which is very rare in Kali Yuga. It's very rare for anyone to attain Brahmaloka. So this means that the Vanapras, because Karmis means basically the Grihasthas. So the Brahmacharis, Vanapras, and Sannyasis, they're all different categories of yogis, and they're only differentiated by the extent and severity of their austerities and restrictive practices, which determines whether they go to Maharlok or Janalok or Tapalok. The Gyanis, the third category of practitioners of improvement, the path of improvement, they attain the Brahman effulgence, which is beyond Mahakal Dham, but within the shelter of devotional service. If they're within the shelter of devotional service, but without the shelter of devotional service, they return to the material world. Aruya Krishna Param Param Param. So that they go beyond. This is Mahakala Dham. So they go beyond to the effulgence of the Lord. The Brahma Jyoti is just shining on the top side of Sarashiva Loka. But by bhakti, then that one elevates one to Haridham. And if it's Vaidhi Bhakti, without Raganuga, one attains Lakshmi Narayan. So this... Well, that's bhakti. You just chant the holy name and then forget about the gyanis, yogis, and karmis. That's it. Class over. Just chant Hare Krishna and forget about all these different realms and all this philosophy and go back to Godhead. It's simple. Even a child can chant Hare Krishna. Even a dog can chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada said on the tape, on the Hare Krishna address, he said, it's a very simple process. Anyone can chant, men, women, even a child, even a dog. Oh, well, good, there's fortune for us then. So Gopa Kumar's travels in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he gives us a nice panoramic tour of the different planets in the material universe. But the worshipful deity of Gopa Kumar was Gopal Krishna. So Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he visited all the higher planets in Devi Dham. But he kept chanting his guru mantra. And he was never satisfied by the different realms. Then he went to Haridham and he saw Lord Narayan. And when he saw Lord Narayan, he was reminded of the Ishtadeva of his mantra. Because he's chanting Gopal mantra, and Gopal's blue and has beautiful lotus eyes, beautiful long hair. And so when he saw Narayan, when he finally went to Haridham in the spiritual world, he said, "Oh, Gopal! Hey, Gopal!" And he wanted to, and he ran to embrace him. But then all the Vaikunthavasis, because Narayan is surrounded by so many guards, there's Sunanda and there's Jaya and Vijaya, then there's Sunanda and Nanda. There's seven different gates and there's two guards at each gate. He has 14 different personal bodyguards, something like President Clinton. When he comes to India, has 500 bodyguards. He came with a whole jumbo jet full of army guys to protect him. So, Rake Krishna Mare K, Mare Krishna Rake K. Krishna wants to kill you, no one can save you. And if Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. So we'll see. He may step on a bar of soap in the Hyatt or wherever he is in the hotel and crack his head and die. Because the 500 guards don't come and take a bath with him. I don't think so. Maybe they do. Maybe they bait him like a baby. Hold him up in the bathtub so he doesn't fall and crack his noggin. So this is Gopal, Gopal Kumar. So what happened was that all these guards, these Vaikunthavasis, they checked him. Hey! You can't speak so informally. You can't. What are you doing? You can't relate to Lord Narayan like he's some coward boy. Because he wanted to go, but Kumar wanted to embrace him, get up on his shoulders. Come on, let's play. Gopa Kumar was not happy at all because in the mood of awe and reverence in Vaikuntha, it killed his intimate feelings. So Narada Muni, who happened to be there at the time, because he's a devotee of Lord Narayan, so he usually, in one form, he's usually there all the time, chanting shlokas and chit-chatting with Lord Narayan, serving him. So then Narada advised him that he better go to Dwarka. There's a little more intimacy there. So then, of course, you know, he went. So actually, I'm kind of out of, okay. Yeah, so now I want to describe a little bit of that. This describes how he went. Well, he went to Dwarka, but then he, on his tour again. So I want to describe Devi Dham, because this is where we are. So this is from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So this is what Gopakumara saw. First, there is Devi Dham, which has different coverings. There are 11 planets that would before long, it would take a long time to attain. One by one, we're all past now in a single moment, as if I were traveling at the speed of mind. See, what happens is, when the soul is leaving this body, first he has to leave the world of this body. And that's what we're chanting in Gayatri Mantra, Om Bhur Bhuvah Svaha. This Brahma Gayatri, at least which the men chant, or well, I guess everyone in ISKCON chants, this Bhur Bhuvah Svaha, represents three planes of consciousness. So when one dies, when he's leaving this body, what happens is all his activities in this body, all of his different associations and deep attachments that he's cultivated throughout his life, they will flash by his mind, one by one by one. Almost like a movie screen. And then he will have to check off neti, 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 neti. Not this one, not this. No, 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 no. And then there's, you know, if he's a married man, then it starts, so many pictures of his wife start coming. And then he's like, he's with his pencil, he's supposed to check off no or yes. And he's like, then he dies. Because he's so attached to his wife, he can't say no. Because, you know, he never took vanaprast or sannyas or any kind of spiritual practices. He was just a materialistic person. So when this heavy attachment came, so many film clips came by, little pictures, ta 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 ta. Oh yeah, my wife this, my wife that, and she cooked and this and that and da 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 da. You know, for many, it seems like years of pictures go by in split second. Then he leaves his body. So most people they get attached to the desire to have a candy bar, as Prabhupada said in New York. If you have one material desire at the time of death, you get one material body. Right? Because material bodies are made of material desire. So if you desire a pakora at the time of death, then you get a body to get a pakora. Or you desire to give class. Ladies should give class. I want to give class. Okay, well, come back and give class. Get another body and give class. Be His Holiness, you know, Sri Srimad Ekazarat, you know, Shastra Shiromani Mahamandaleshwar Jagat Guru, you know. Be everything you can be, you know. So any kind of material desire then will give us another body. So that's one thing. That's just when the soul is trying to get out of the universe of this body, because as below, so above. Within the microcosm is the macrocosm. The microcosm is like the microscope. Within the small, there is the big. And within the big, there is the small. So macrocosm means the entire cosmos. But microcosm means the universe within yourself. So this body has a sun planet, and it has moon planet, the mind is the moon, and the heart is the sun, and it has so many thousands of other planets. This is the universe. And there's a super soul, as there's a super soul in the universe, it's Shirdakshayloka, and he's watching over and maintaining all the movements of the planets and the whole universe, right? And Brahma goes there and prays in the ocean of milk. Well, there's a super soul inside his body, and he's watching over the universe of this body, making all the little planets move here and there, and the cells go here and there, and all that. Little cells are like little planets whirling around and moving here and there. So as the soul is trying to leave this body, then he sees something and he gets attached and he stays again in another body. Now, if the soul comes to the point of detachment where he's liberated from this body and any more material bodies of this gross category, then he starts traveling through the universe. He actually gets to leave this planet, which is very rare. So as he goes through this planet, from this planet, then he has to experience all these different planets. Then he gets up, there's 8 coverings of the universe. And as he has to go through the 8 coverings of the universe, then he gets some offerings. Hey! Here's the earth layer, and that's what's described in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then he goes, oh! Then when as he's going up, he gets a nice picture out of the corner of his eye, and he gets stuck up in that layer, and he's still stuck in the material world. Life after life after life. So leaving this body is just, it's a different categories, different levels of leaving the body, but the same predicament is there, or the same challenge is there, where we always have to reject all the offerings and say no to Maya and no to all the offerings and yes to Krishna. So now this is what's explained, that all the, that's what he said, it says these planets that before would take a long time to attain one by one were now all passed in a single moment, as if I were traveling at the speed of mind. So that's what happens, that when you're at the time of death, you're traveling at the speed of mind through your whole life. You lived 100 years in this body, you're 100 years old, now you're on your deathbed. But you're all those experiences of school and child and falling off your bicycle and this and that, and your mother spanking you and your grandmother and this and that. It goes by, 100 years goes by in the speed of mind, because you're in the mind now. You're in coma, you're dying, whatever. Then Oh yeah, I married that guy, but actually I always wanted to marry that guy in high school, and he was you see the guy, the picture of the guy in high school, and then you die thinking of him. Or the girl or whatever. So now, in the same way, when the soul is leaving this body, when it's qualified to like go to higher planets and even maybe go to the spiritual world, still you're not out yet. So there's tests are coming. You say, like, you think now we have tests. Krishna is testing you. This is a real test. And then so you go at the speed of mind. You go by all these planets. Then I reach the universe's coverings, the coverings of the universe. As you know, the earth is covered, you know, the universe is covered like there's a coconut shell. You know, you have a coconut, inside the shell, this big husky thing and they peel off and then there's a hard brown thing. So that covering of the coconut are these layers. Then Gopal Kumar says, this is his diary. No, this is his diary of his travel diaries. Pilgrim's Journey, right? Pilgrim's Journey by Gopal Kumar. Then I reached the universe's coverings, which had happinesses and opulences millions and millions of times greater than Brahmaloka. See Brahmaloka? See, Brahmaloka is there, and then there's the coverings of the universe. I came to the coverings of the gross material elements. What's the first covering of the universe? Earth. What's the second covering? Water. How thick is the earth covering? Yeah, the covering of earth is 10 times thicker than the whole width of the universe. You know, the whole expanse of the universe, as far as I understand. The earth layer is 10 times bigger and 10 times thicker than the whole size of the universe. Okay, then the next layer is water. How thick is the water? 10 times thicker than the earth. So say the earth is this thick, that covering, and the water covering is 10 times. Then after water? Huh? Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence. Aham, mameti. Ego, that's the thickest. Isn't it the thickest? Just like in this body, there's an earth layer, there's a water layer, there's a fire layer, there's an air, you know, all these things are there. What about the ego layer? That's the thickest one to get through, isn't it? It's the thickest one to give up. Most people never get out of the earth layer. Most people are only in the skin. Skin means the earth, skin and bones means the earth layer. Earth and water, there's some water also there. So earth and water means skin and bones, Jack. I mean skin disease. I'm Indian. I'm Punjabi. I'm Rajasthani. Kshatriya stock. I'm ekdam Brahmin. I am businessman. I am Sudra. This is the bone. This is bones and skin. This is earth layer. Most people don't get beyond earth and water, and some people get the fire layer. What's fire? Where's fire layer? Fire layer is the brain, the mind. So some people get to the idea, I am mind. It's all mind. Cosmic mind. Reality's in the mind.
You just think it, and it's real. Whatever you think is real, it is all illusion. You are the only reality. Your mind is everything.
So this is fire layer. And some people, like this, it's a whole other discussion. But you may want to hear that one more. But this is Brahma Samhita class. So here he is, this little boy, little tiny boy. He's a Kumar. How old's Kumar? What does that mean, Kumar? How old is he? 5 years old. He's one of these little guys down the hallway, right? Guru Kuli. He's 5 years old. All he has in his pocket, what does he have in his pocket? Does he have a gold card, platinum card, master charge, diners club, Citicorp? Doesn't have any cards in his pocket. He doesn't have any rupees. He doesn't have any money belt, no passport, nothing. The only thing he has in his pocket is his guru mantra, Gopal mantra, right? That's all he has. So I came to the coverings of the gross material elements and the subtle material elements, which are named linga, and which contain many great pleasures enjoyed by living entities free from the gross elements. First, I enter the covering of earth. So now he's in the earth. He's in the earth covering of the universe. And I saw the beautifully, supremely opulent earth goddess. So here you are, boys. You get to the earth layer and this beautiful goddess. Goddess means, you know, beautiful lady. Beautiful lotus eyes, beautiful. She comes out and says, "Hey, Krishnadas, where are you going? Sit down. Have a drink. You look tired. You've been traveling a long way. You come a long way. Sit down and have a drink. You know, look, take a look." "No! No! Haribol, Haribol! Haribol, Haribol! I got business to do. I'm getting out of here. Get the guy behind me." I saw the supremely opulent earth goddess who, with offerings of things difficult to get in the material universe, was worshipping the Lord who had taken the form of a great boar, the pores of his body, the place from which the universe has come. So in the first layer there is a, just like in the sun planet, you have Vivishan or Mitra, there's 12 different names of the sun god. And he, or we collect, you know, the position is called Suryadev. And Suryadev worships this Ishtadev. So there's a form of Vishnu. The Ishtadev, or the god, or the controlling deity of the sun, is called Surya Narayan. And he's worshipped by Suryadev. So here you have the earth goddess, Bhumi Mata, or Bhumi Rani, the goddess of the earth layer. She's there, but she has an Ishtadev. She has a Thakurji that she worships, just like we worship Radha and Krishna. So she worships Varahadev. And as you may know, when she was in trouble, then Varahadev came and picked her up, and then that was their conjugal relationship, and they produced a son named Bhomasura, or Narakasura, is the son of Varaha and Mother Bhumi. So, Gopakumar is there, and she said, "Please, stay here. I saw that the entire material universe, including its ingredients, were present in her. Its subtle cause. Putting aside the worship of the Lord, the earth goddess welcomed me as a guest and asks me to stay for some days and enjoy the happiness there." This place is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 89, verse 47. Gopakumar, he says, taking her permission, "Oh, Mataji, please don't mind. Please excuse me. I quickly went through that covering as if being somewhat dragged through it, and I came to the other coverings." Wow. Got out of that one. That was close. That earth goddess wanted me to hang around there. But good thing I had my mantra. "In those coverings, I saw one after the another. Matsya, Surya." So in other words, he came to the covering of water, and in the water covering he saw Lord Matsya. This is an expansion of Matsya, who was also in the spiritual world, and like a spiritual Vaikuntha planet. I came to the fire covering and saw Lord Surya. The air covering, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego. Lord Padumna, Aniruddha. Aniruddha is the mind, Padumna is the intelligence, Lord Sankarshan's ego and Lord Vasudev. Being worshipped by the great forms of the deities of water, fire, air, ether, false ego, and Mahatattva. So, Sanatana Goswami explains that the deity of water worship Lord Matsya, and the deity of fire worship Lord Surya. I've already explained. Each gross material element, and then each subtle material element, manifested greater and greater objects of worship, worshippers, enjoyment, beauty, and glory. Passing through these coverings as before, I came to a very dark covering of material energy. Its dark color very pleasing to the eyes. The dark covering. This is described in chapter 10th canto 89:47. Seeing this dark color, like the color of my worshipful Lord, I became very pleased and I did not wish to go any further. The very beautiful material nature, concluding the worship of her deity, the splendid form of Mohini Devi at once approached me. So this is the this is Mohini Murti, who taught Shiva the lesson that anybody can be attracted to the illusory energy, even Shiva. So this is also when you read in the story of Mahavishnu, he took the sons of the Brahmin from Dwarka. He kidnapped them. Then Arjun, who was there as a Kshatriya, he said, look, I will retrieve your sons. And then if I don't retrieve your sons wherever they have gone, because they've disappeared, they've died at birth, and now that they're supposed to live, but they didn't live, so I will find out where they are. I will bring your dead sons back to you. And if I can't, then I will give up my body. So then he wasn't able to do that. He couldn't find the sons of the Brahmin. So then he was going to give up his body, and Krishna came to protect him and said, get on the chariot, I'll get the sons. So then they went on the chariot. I believe this is chapter 89 in the Krishna book, and 10th canto. And then Arjuna and Krishna went on the chariot, and they went through the universe, and they got to the coverings of the universe. And then the horses, Krishna's horses, were hesitating due to the darkness there, and Krishna took his chakra and lit up the way, and they went through the coverings. So this is the last, you can say, covering. This is the total, the personification of the material energy, Mohini Devi, with all the material energy. She placed Anima and other mystic cities before me, and she begged me to stay, just as the earth goddess and the other deities. Then, by the Lord's wish, I traveled a great distance through that great darkness, and finally I saw a light so splendid to me that I closed my eyes. So, of course, that light, which is the Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond, beyond the Viraja. So now that's one point. Now Maheshdham, Rudradham. This is this little egg-shaped thing there. It's not really shaped like an egg, but Shivaloka has two divisions, higher and lower. The higher portion, Sada Shivaloka, is located in the spiritual world on the other side of the Viraj River. And the lower portion, Mahakal Dham, is located within the material world. This Mahakal Dham represents the eightfold coverings of the material universe. So that's why it's explained that Gopa Kumar, as he was going through the eightfold coverings of Mahakal Dham, the universe, which is this lower portion, it's also called Mahakal Dham. And gradually he started to see a great effulgence. Well, that light that he saw was coming from the Brahma Jyoti shining on the top half, which is called Sada Shiva Loka. Mahakal Loka, or Mahakal Dham, which is part of this Sada Shiva Loka, is described as a dense dark region composed of five material elements, wherein each layer or covering of the universe is presided over by a demigod. Yogis endeavoring for liberation must restrain themselves from being attracted by the opulences within each layer as they travel upward. And this is chapter 89, verse 47 through 53. describes Krishna and Arjuna's travel through this dense, dark region. So, then Maheshtam is further described here in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. When Gopakumar saw Lord Shiva and Maheshtam, Lord Shiva congratulated him on being such a devotee that he actually saw the Lord's form in the Brahma Jyoti. Gopa said, "I became filled with joy and wonder. I thought, who is that? Surrounded by his..." This is when he arrived in Sodashiva Loka, beyond the Mahakala Dham. He's still in Shiva Loka, but he's in the upper portion. That's where he saw the light. Because the upper portion, the Sodashiva Loka, is bathed in light. It's bathing in the light of the Brahma Jyoti, where the lower portion, which is below the Viraja River, is this darkness, this dense darkness that he penetrated. Who is that? Surrounded by his associates. He stands above the impersonal liberation. So above the impersonal liberation. Joyfully approaching the leader of the associates, who was named Sri Nandishwar, I asked about who that was. He said, "Oh, coward boy. Oh, devotee worshipper of Lord Gopal. You don't know Lord Shiva, who is the Lord of the universes, who gives both material pleasure and liberation, who increases devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is worshipped by the liberated souls, and who is dear to the Vaishnavas?" So here, Sanatana Goswami is explaining something of the tattva, Shiva tattva, the truth or the substance about the identity and position and power of Lord Shiva. One is that Lord Shiva has the power to grant liberation, material pleasures. He increases devotion to the Supreme Personality of God. He gives bhakti, increases bhakti. Then Lord Shiva spoke. "A person," he told Gopakumar, "a person who has great faith in the pure and desireless performance of one's own varnashram duties attains the mercy of Lord Hari." If that mercy, in other words, if you do your duties, as I mentioned, for 100 lifetimes in the Varnashram system, then you get the blessings of the Lord, who is given that system, Chaturvarnya Maya Shustvam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. You get the blessings of Lord Hari, and he promotes you to Maharlok, Janalok, Tapalok, Brahmalok. Then Shiva goes on, "But if that mercy that's given to the performers of Varnashram is multiplied 100 times, then one attains the post of Brahma." In other words, if one is a vanaprastha or a brahmachari but if he's a sannyasi for 100 lifetimes as a sannyasi, then he gets even more mercy. He goes to the topmost planet, not Janalok or Maharlok or Tapalok, but he goes to Satyalok or Brahmalok. So that means he got a lot more mercy because he surrendered a lot more and did a lot more. If that mercy, the mercy that he attained from Lord Hari to become Brahma, if that mercy is attained 100 times more, then he attains the post of Lord Shiva. If the mercy I receive from the Lord is multiplied 100 times, one attains Vaikuntha. Verse from Bhagavatam, this is called the Rudra Gita. Rudra Gita is Canto 4, Chapter 24. That's called Rudra Gita. This is verse 29.
Janmabi puman vivrinchitam eti tata param himam avyakritam bhagavato ta vaishnavam param yataham vibhuda kalayate kalatyaye.
Lord Shiva said in his Rudra Gita, "A person who executes his occupational duty," it's called Varnashram Dharma, "properly for 100 lifetimes becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Krishna in unalloyed devotional service," Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, "is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets.
Lord Shiva and other demigods attained these planets after the destruction of this material world, 424-29. In the purport, Prabhupada explains, there is also a planet called Shivaloka, which is there, or it's also called Sadashivaloka, which is situated in a marginal position between the spiritual and material worlds. That's why I've shown here this ocean, the waves of the Viraja River. The top side of the waves is spiritual world, the bottom side is material world. So Sadashivaloka has two portions. The upper portion is in the spiritual world. It's called Sadashivaloka. And the bottom part of Sadashivaloka, or Shivaloka, is called Mahakal Dham in the material world. If after being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he is promoted to Sadashivaloka. Similarly, when one becomes even more qualified, he can attain Vaikuntha Lokas. Now, something about Sadashiva. Prabhupada explains, Leela, chapter 6, verse 79, purport. In the Vayu Puran, there is a description of a Sadashiva in one of the Vaikuntha planets. As I mentioned in some of our earlier classes last year, there are prototype demigods, which is the word that is used in the Brahma Samhita purport. There are prototype demigods. In other words, there's a spiritual Lord Shiva, there's a spiritual Lord Brahma, Indra, etc. They have their spiritual forms in the spiritual world, where they, just like there's a sun planet and there's a moon planet, all these planets are there, spiritual planets. So they have expansion. So this is what Prabhupada's quoting here. He's explaining, in the spiritual world, completely, not half in, totally in the spiritual world, there's a Sadashiva Loka. And this is what Prabhupada explains. In the Vayu Puran, there is a description of Sadashiva in one of the Vaikuntha planets. This is not a Vaikuntha planet. That Sadashiva is a direct expansion of Lord Krishna's form for pastimes. So that there's the Lord Balaram. Balaram expands into Chaturvyuha. Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Sankarshan, right? Sankarshan expands into the Purusha avatars. That Sankarshan also expands into Sadashiva. And that Sadashiva lives on a Vaikuntha planet called Sadashiva Loka in the spiritual world for pastimes. Now, and then that Sadashiva in the spiritual world, completely spiritual, so-called demigod, he's not a demigod, really, he's an expansion, he expands into this planet here, which is in the border of the material and spiritual world. That Sadashiva is a direct expansion of Krishna's form, right? Chaturvyuha. In other places it's described he's expansion from Sankarshan. Prabhupada goes on. It is said that Lord Shambhu, or this Sadashiva on this planet, is an expansion, this Sadashiva, or Lord Shambhu in the material world, is an expansion from the Sadashiva in the Vaikuntha planets. And his consort, Mahamaya, is an expansion of Ramadevi or Lakshmidevi. So this is back to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There is a part of Shivaloka described here as Mahakal Dham. It is enveloped in darkness. It is described in Vishnu Purana as a feature of Lord Shiva who destroys the universe. Verses. Shivaloka on one side and Mahakal Dham on the other. As far as I understand, Avaitacharya is expansion of the Sadashiva from the spiritual world. Because the Lord's associates, as is told in Jiva Dharma, by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all Krishna's associates in the male form are expansions of Lord Balaram. Like all the Gopas, etc., Nandamaraj, etc., right? There's Krishna, he expands into Radharani, and from her body, her Kayo Vyuha, her expansions are the Asasakis, and they expand into other Sakis and Mandris, then into the Mahishis, the queens of Dwarka, and into the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha. So Balaram expands into the Gopas and so many coward boys and all that. So part of Balaram's expansion is Chaturvyuha, and then Sankarshan comes in, then you come into Gaurlila. So all the male expansions from Gaurlila are also expansions coming from one of Balaram's expansions. You understand? Any questions? Tomorrow we'll read about Hari Dham. We'll read some more about this Seta Shiva Loka and some points to the purport. And we'll start verse 44 tomorrow. Also. This is covering the whole material world, all the universes. Or you can see each universe is the same. It's all the same. It's like there's an Earth planet in every universe, right? So you have to get. You don't have to get all the universes. You just got one. There's as many universes as there are mustard seeds in a bag of mustard seeds, or something. It's not like you get out of one universe and then oh my God, here we go again. I gotta get out of another universe. As far as I understand, that you get out of one and you're out. So there's millions and millions of universes. In every universe there's an Earth planet, and there's a Brahmaloka and Mahaloka and Shoda Shiva Loka and all that. And somehow they're all existing, all expanded in some dark corner. It's Ekpad Vibhuti, some 1/4 of the entire majesty and opulence of the Vaikuntha planets. This is one little dark corner that has unlimited billions and billions of universes in it. And once you get out of your little universe, you're out of that dark corner into the field of light. You're in Vaikuntha then. And the rest in all the other little universes, millions of other universes, you don't worry about them. You're out. Thank you very much.